God revealed his plan, how it makes our salvation all the more sweeter when we think back and when we remember those things. Then before that, we talked about our spiritual checklist and what we go through with our lives on a daily basis and the different things. But that song that y'all sang this morning and Trey's word was spot on, because we do need a little less of us and a little more of Jesus. This morning, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about priorities and where God fits in our lives and how he should always be our number one, our center. He should always be that for us. Your first priority is God, and then everything else falls under that. Keep that in mind as we look at God's word, and we look at how we go back through our day-to-day lives. And it's funny sometimes, because Tanya and I have raised 4 kids, or we're still raising them. I don't think they're ever going to leave, but that's a whole nother sermon. But you know what I mean, Greg. Okay, so I feel you. Mine are gone now, but I know what you're talking about. But I don't know if you've ever heard, Kyle and Leslie? What's Henry messed up? Maybe twice in his life? Something like that. Yeah, today. And I might have heard Leslie say to Kyle before, that's your child. Because that's all Carter. That wouldn't be us. And Tanya, and a lot of times, I pointed out, because in the first set of scriptures right there, God says something that is really good. Let's start off right there with 1 and 2. Hey, guy, chapter 1, 1 and 2. He says, in the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say, the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. Let's open up right there with prayer before we get started. Father God, as we come to you before in this time of our worship service, Father, Lord, may everything that has been on our hearts this week or on our minds, dear God, we just want to lift it up to you. Lord, that we clear our minds and our thoughts, Lord. We concentrate on you during these next few minutes. The Lord, may everything just melt away, Father. Whatever somebody might have brought into this house, God, I pray, Lord, that they leave it here. That, God, we as your people, Father God, we give careful thoughts to our ways. Lord, help us to be, Lord, more like you in how we handle our day-to-day business and how we witness to people, how we are your hands and feet, Father God, and how, Lord, our number one priority is you. And then the rest, Lord, will fall into place if we just put our trust in you. God, be with us this morning, dear Lord. Just be with us, Lord. These things I ask in your most precious and holy name. Amen. You can kind of see right here is what I'm getting at is God doesn't refer to his people. He usually says, my people, agreed? Y'all have seen that in the scriptures. But here he says, these people. He's upset. And he says, these people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. The citizens of Jerusalem told themselves that it wasn't yet time to resume work on the temple. They made it sound spiritual is what they did, because they said, well, it's not the Lord's timing. I've been guilty of that before in my life, where I've told myself it wasn't God's timing when it was on me the whole time to do it. Does that make sense? I hope it does. When I went to school, when Lord called me to be a minister, when the Lord asked me to step up, I said, oh, well, God, it's not your time. It was just an excuse is all it was. Think about this real quick. Citizens of Jerusalem told themselves it wasn't the right time. It isn't God's time to rebuild. The land was desolate. I'll tell you that right off the thing. The work was hard. They didn't have a lot of money or manpower, we'll see. Hostile enemies created the work. If you actually go back to Ezra, you can actually read this story, and it shows where Haggai and Ezra were together in that. And they remembered easier times in Babylon. Look at what 3-5 says right there. He says, then the word of the Lord came to the prophet Haggai. Is it time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thoughts to your ways. And if I was you, I'd underline that in my Bible. Because I found this, I literally found this just by flipping through and reading some of the old minor prophets. And God spoke to me when I was at the kitchen table. And I said, give careful thoughts to your ways. He says, you have planted much, but you've harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You put on your clothes, but you're not even warm enough. You earn your wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. Give careful thoughts to your ways. 7 says, again, right there. God tells him again, twice. Give careful thoughts to your ways. The moral of the story here, guys, is you might want to get your priorities straight in your life. Because how many times has God told us that? Give careful thoughts to your ways. Why is it so hard for us as God's people to trust God? Oh, because we got a better way. I know what's best for me and my money. I got to figure it out. And when it comes time to give, like I'm supposed to give, and I go, oh goodness, end of the month is going to get here quick. What if I run out? What am I going to do? I should just trust God the whole time. Amen? I should. It's exactly what we need to do, is just trust God. He's got a plan. You worry about just today because today's got enough troubles of its own. That's dead on right there. Look at what he says in 6-11 right there. 8-11. He says, go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build my house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why, declares the Lord Almighty? Because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with your own house. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew on the earth, its crops. I called for a drought on the field, and the mountains of the grains, the new wine, the olive oil, and everything else the ground produces, on people and livestock, and all the labor of your hands. They built the altar, but they didn't finish the job. They halfway did it. The temple's still sitting there, and God finally says, that's enough. It's time for you to build my house. We've built that altar, so they've halfway done it. So now they're almost like we said, okay, we got the Lord happy. If you go back to Ezra and look at it, they had the ceremony, they had the trumpets, everything went through right there. They dedicated it to the Lord, then they moved on and started other things. They moved right on and started other things. How many times has God led you to something and you've done part of it, but then you abandoned it? You walked away. A lot of times that happens in our lives when we think about it, guys. How we start stuff, but we don't finish it. Next part right here. Look at what he says. 12 and 13, he says, and Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, the whole remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the message of the prophet Haggai, because the Lord their God had sent them, and the people feared the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message to the Lord's people that reminded them, I am with you, declares the Lord. How much more do we honestly need than that right there? When he says, I am with you. Period. Do you believe in your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ today? Amen, you do. Do you believe that he has a plan for your life? If you keep him as your number one priority, if you do what you're supposed to do every morning, don't just half it. I want you to think about it every day and carry out what you're supposed to do. You say your prayers, you spend time in his word, you look for him throughout the day. You find him in other people is what you do. You find him on the park benches. You find him when you can witness and you can share something about it. That's all about keeping your priorities as Christ. But guess what? When you do that all day like that, you haven't put yourself as number one yet one time because you've been too busy focusing on Jesus. That's tough, ain't it? But that's the truth. That's what we see right here. That's what he's telling them. He says, I'm with you. They came and began to work on the house of the Lord Almighty their God on the 24th day of the sixth month. But I want to have to point out something really, really special. So the promised glory, look at chapter 2:4-5 right there. Look at what it says. He says, but now be strong, declares the Lord. Be strong, Joshua, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, and work, for I am with you, declares the Lord. This is what I covenanted you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. Do not fear, for God is with you. Man, when I say that, do you realize that you're an unstoppable beast? You are a disciple of Jesus Christ. I hope you run out of here. You almost look for the first person to witness to, is what I want you to do. Now, I don't want you to be violent. Don't run up to them, scaring them with your Bible now. That'll break them out a little bit, but you get what I'm seeing. You get what I'm saying, not what I'm seeing, excuse me. I'm bad with my words. But you know that God has a plan when we keep him at the center of our lives. Now, next set of scriptures I want to share with you, and I don't mean to normally do this to you, but I wanted to point out, when we see God's word in the Old Testament, we can see it in the New Testament, because God's word never changes. We change as people all the time, amen? Amen? But God's word never does. Now, flip over to 1 Peter. Just go into your First Testament, not hard, chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, and I'll give you just a minute. And I want to see what he says right there. My page just came out, Leslie. That's getting bad. Oh, I know, right? Don't worry, I can lay it back in there. Thank goodness they're numbered, right, Miss Kay? So, Miss Kay says you need to go to the early 1000s in her Bible. 1 Peter 2, 1-10. And I want to read this together with y'all. And it's 10 verses. It says, therefore, rid yourselves. This is Peter talking. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Look at how Peter describes the walk with Christ. Rid yourselves of all those things, and like newborn babies, go after the little things. When you start off, a lot of us have attempted to read the Bible in a year, read the Bible in 3 months, whatever the plan, a lot of times all we need to do is just go to Matthew and read the words in red. Just read the words in red. Read what Jesus said. That's a great start to your walk in Christ. That's a great start that you can actually hone in on and underline it and make notes and write down things that jump out to you. Just like we talked about earlier when Haggai reminded the Israelites, he says, God has got to be the center of our lives. And the Lord told him, give careful thoughts to your ways. Then he says right there in 4, he says, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So we are being built stone by stone, piece by piece, into a holy temple for God. Amen? It's exactly what it says. And when he talks about the spiritual sacrifice right there, he's talking about a praise to God is what he's talking about. So you think about every instance and everything that has happened in your life, in your walk with Christ, and you take all those building blocks, and God is building his temple through you. If you have accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, that's what he's doing. He's building his church. He's building you up. For in Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, the stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Well, the cornerstone is the first stone set in the construction of a masonry foundation. All the other stones will be set in reference to this stone, thus determining the position of the entire structure. It's the strongest part. He says right there, a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. 9, Peter tells them in 9, he says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. How important do you think it is to keep God as your number one priority? That's it, right? God as the number one priority. I found a little, before I finish up with 10, I wanted to share a little story with y'all I found. And, you know, it's funny. I will be honest with you. But when we think about our walk with Jesus, and this is every day. This isn't something that just happens once. This is every day when you get up. Every day, Steve, when you go out there and fire up that big rig, you better be saying your prayers as you walk around it. You better be asking for protection and praying these tires hold up, Lord, that I just want safe travel, and God, I want you to get me there and get me home. Get me back to Cheryl safely. When we're at the job site, God, if I can be a witness for you, Lord, show me that person. And you kick that tire again. I do it all the time because I do the same as he. I haul golf carts to different people. And I have to go around and I have to check that big old gooseneck. And I have to shake them straps. And I have to make sure everything is ratcheted down. I have to make sure all my lights are working. I have to be prepared when I go out. We do the same thing in the morning when we leave for work, do we not? I hit you. You can relate to that. Because you better be preparing yourself because you don't know what's going to happen. But I can sympathize with that because I know I've hit those big 2.5s. I know what it's like to tie down a load. And I know what it's like to go by and check my tires and to make sure that I don't see anything and to check my lights and my markers so everybody else knows what I'm doing on that interstate when I'm hauling 50 foot of truck and trailer. They need to know where I'm going and when I'm merging and when I'm coming over. Well, if they can't see my light in the back, how do they know? They need to know that. Listen at this. God, moral of today's story, Jesus is your number one. Jesus is your center. That's it. If you don't walk away with nothing else. You walk away with that. Jesus is the center. Keep him there. He is number one in your life. There was once a rich man, though, who was near death. And he was very grieved because he had worked so hard for his money and he wanted to be able to take it with him to heaven, Leslie. Imagine that. He wanted to take it with him because I've done, oh, it's mine. I want to take it with me. So he began to pray that he might be able to take his wealth with him. An angel hears this plea and appears to him and says, sorry, but you can't take that with you. Oh, and the man asked the angel, he says, would you speak to God to see if he might bend the rules? The man continues to pray that his wealth could follow him. Angel reappears and informs the man that God has decided to allow him to take one suitcase with him. One carry-on. Oh, so the man was just overjoyed. So he grabs his largest suitcase he can and he fills it up. Fills it up with pure gold bars and places it beside his bed. Soon afterwards, the man dies, and he shows up at the gates of heaven, and Saint Peter's there to greet him. And Saint Peter says, "Hey, whoa! You can't bring that in here. No luggage allowed." And he was like, "No." But the man explains, "I've got permission. Go verify my story with the Lord. He said I could bring it in." So sure enough, Peter checks and comes back saying, he says, you're right. You're allowed one carry-on bag, but I'm supposed to check its contents before I can let you in. Peter opens the suitcase to inspect the worldly items that the man found too precious to leave behind and exclaims to him, you brought pavement? You brought pavement. That's what was so important to you? Revelations 21:21 tells us, the great street of the city was of gold, as pure as transparent glass. Where's your precious? Where's your number one today? I hope it's in Jesus Christ, is my prayer for each of you. First Peter 2, verse 10 says, once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Have you ever watched your young child make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich? Seriously. And you get that piece of bread. And I don't like the ones with the indentions in it and stuff. I mean, I want a piece of bread. And boy, I'll spread it all the way out with that knife. I'll cover every tip, Greg. I'll even maybe let it hang over the edge a little bit because I want to get it all. I want to get it all. So I'm not going to leave a bit of that bread uncovered with peanut butter and jelly. That's what God's grace and mercy does for us. He covers every single bit of it. Every single bit of our lives when we trust Him and make Him our number one. Amen. Let's close today. Father God, Lord, we are thankful just to be in your house, God, and to learn more about you. God, we thank you, Lord, for your word, God, and what it means to us, dear Lord. As we take it from here, God, and we give careful thoughts to our ways, Lord, and what you have planned for us. I pray, God, that you, each of us, Lord, will be your hands and feet this week. As we go out, as we see people, maybe we'll invite somebody, Lord, whatever you have laid in our hearts, or maybe we just need to be quiet, Lord, and you just preach a sermon through us, Father God, just by being an example. Lord, we thank you for this time, God, and for each and every person in here, Lord, as we start to come back together, Lord, as things start to get a little bit back to normal. Father, we just want to, everything we say and do, may it bring you honor and glory. Be with everybody that we mentioned on our prayer list, Father God. Be with us as we all go to Sunday school, Lord, and we learn more about you, Lord. Thank you, God, for your grace and your mercy that covers us, Father God. It does, Lord, because we want to keep you at the centers, at the center of our life, Father. Lord, these things, Lord, we love you and we thank you. And Lord, may everything we be found this week be found faithful by you, Lord. Let's help us to keep our eyes on you, Jesus. These things I ask in your most precious and holy name. Amen. As we stand, as we get ready, Leslie's going to come and offer.